Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins, a special crossover edition on this Friday, November 30th. My name is Louis DiBiase, host of Locked On Eagles at DiBiase, L-O-E, on Twitter, joined by the host of Locked On Redskins. It's at RussellMania621 on Twitter. It's Chris Russell. Chris, how you doing today?
Hey, Louie, what's going on, brother? Good to be with you, man, and, you know, looking forward to this Monday night game, looking forward to this conversation between you and I, and, you know, it's a little chilly outside in the Northeast. We'll get the Eagles and the Redskins fans ready for this Monday night game, try and keep them a little warm with some good podcast audio and analysis.
Yeah, look, these two teams are, they're not strangers to big games. I mean, you look at the past few years, a couple years ago, I mean, from 2014 and 2015, the Washington Redskins essentially ended the Eagles' playoff hopes in those Week 16 matchups. DeSean Jackson, when he was there, was killing the Eagles. Big games, you could go even back to 2010 and 2013. They've kind of switched being the good teams in the division, and this Monday night's going to be a similar playoff atmosphere-like game because, you know, with Dallas taking down the Saints last night, Chris, that didn't really help the Eagles' chances or the Redskins' chances at the NFC East. So this is a big, pretty much must-win game for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, I mean, first from a Redskins perspective, I mean, obviously a win would snap a two-game losing streak. It's been an ugly week around here with Reuben Foster, that signing, DJ Swearinger calling out some of his teammates for bad practice habits and not paying attention. That started the week after a bad loss to Dallas on Thanksgiving. And then Doug Williams, the team's senior vice president of player personnel, making some ill-advised comments. Yeah. You know, about that and getting all sorts of criticism. The building is on fire over here. There are people running for their lives, executives that are, demanding. I mean, it is a very, once again, typically unstable Redskins organization right now that comes to Philadelphia on Monday night. But with a win, you know, the Redskins can go to 7-5. You mentioned Dallas's win to go to 7-5. Dallas would still technically have, I think, tiebreaker advantage over Washington for first place. But, I mean, of course, they would be essentially tied record-wise. And really, a win by the Redskins would, I don't want to say would officially eliminate the Eagles, but it would really push them down, the pecking order because of all the tiebreakers and the record difference. Now, a win by the Eagles, of course, puts them at 6-6, puts the Redskins at 6-6 and reeling with three straight losses. And while you don't necessarily climb over the Cowboys, you certainly stay within earshot. And I believe the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys have a pretty big game coming up real soon.
Yeah, they do next week. And look, this is big. I mean, this is big for both teams, but the Eagles, you mentioned, I mean, they have to win these three division matchups they have for the rest of the season with Washington this week, Dallas next week, and then that Week 17 battle with Washington. Because you look at, they still have the Rams and the Houston Texans. So essentially, I've been using the playoff machine for the past couple weeks on ESPN to try to find a way to get this Eagles team into the playoffs, which I did not expect to have to do heading into this season, which I thought the Eagles are going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. But I looked at it, and for the Eagles to get in, they're going to have to get all three division wins. And then after Dallas won last night, they're probably going to have to split between the Rams and the Texans. So this is huge for both teams. And you look at it for a Washington perspective. I want to ask you, did you expect, I mean, at 6-5, when we talk about the contenders in the NFC East, I didn't really think Washington was going to be a serious threat to the Eagles. And now they're a game better, but they don't have Alex Smith right now. They have Colt McCoy. This has been a whirlwind season for Washington. Did you expect it to go this way?
Look, nobody could have drawn it up the way, Louis, the way it's kind of unfolded, right? I did expect them to be an 8-9 win team, even after losing Darius Geis six plays into his NFL career, preseason game number one. I thought probably more realistically 8 wins. I started off training camp, quite honestly, at 9, and I said, well, if everything breaks right, they could get to 10. Why? Because I thought this was the deepest team, certainly, that Jay Gruden had had. And I would argue, you know, not argue, I would say in the Dan Snyder ownership era, which is now 22 years or whatever it is, it was clearly the deepest and most talented roster that they had had. Now, overall, I would just quickly say this. Alex Smith was a disappointment in terms of performance, in terms of production, in terms of, you know, matching what the NFL is kind of more moving towards. But they were winning. They were winning with him because he wasn't turning the ball over. And now you see, without Alex, you know, while Colt McCoy can make more plays, he also makes more mistakes.
Right,
and that's a problem for the Redskins. Yeah, exactly. So this season, I don't want to say it's like a tale of two seasons, but in essence, it's a tale of two seasons because you've got one guy who doesn't make enough plays and doesn't turn the ball over, and then you have another guy who is pretty much the opposite of that, and that's the guy that the Eagles are going to get on Monday night against a somewhat suspect secondary of the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, what I would just wrap this up and just say, I don't know what this Redskins team is, because the first half of the year they were really good at stopping the run. Now they stink. The first half of the year they struggled pass coverage-wise, gave up a lot of big plays. Now it's not so much that, but now they're bad tackling. And then we mentioned the quarterback situation, and it's really a choppy, kind of uneven product is basically how I would describe it. I don't have a better description for it because it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because you look at the way the NFL is going with the Chiefs and the Rams and the Saints, this offensive explosion that really even started going back to last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, it was 41 points for the Eagles, 33 right. for the Patriots. So, I mean, you look at it, the Super Bowl itself had over 1,000 yards of offense. That's kind of been the way it's been going, even with the rules the NFL is making. But yet, in the NFC East, you look at it, and Washington and even Dallas we've been seeing the past couple of weeks have been playing turnover-free strong defensive football, and those are the two teams at the top of the East. It's funny how the NFC East is kind of like the bizarro NFL right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, because who would have thought the Cowboys would win that game on Thursday night, 13-10, nobody. Right? Yeah. I mean, I thought the Cowboys had a decent chance of winning the game, but even as good as the Dallas defense was, I was like, ah, there's no way they're winning 13-10.
And Chris,
maybe
they didn't even score.
20.
They didn't score a single point in the second half.
I know. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And New Orleans did everything they could to throw up all over themselves, and so did, oh, by the way, Dallas. So anyway, you know, the way this – now, we sit here and we talk about these two teams kind of, you know, struggling for consistency, and, you know, we don't exactly know what the Eagles' offense is, although I think we have a better beat on that than we do the Redskins. But both of these teams are capable, if they're clicking on all cylinders, I think, of scoring into the mid to upper 20s, if not maybe a little bit more, depending on conditions and depending on, you know, other factors. But yet both of these teams are capable of struggling and it being penalty at Palooza and it being a really big eyesore for the national TV audience to watch on Monday night.
Yeah, I thought the Eagles were going to be one of those teams when we mentioned the Saints and the Chiefs and the Rams and all these offensive juggernauts. I honestly thought the Eagles are going to be one of them because you look at how good the offensive line played down the stretch last season and the weapons. They have one of the best tight ends in football in Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey. Nelson Agholor became a big breakout player last year. But look, why the Eagles are 5-6 right now, they've been turning over the football. The coaching has taken a significant regression. They miss Frank Reich. They miss John DeFilippo. Mike Groh has not panned out as the offensive coordinator. Injuries galore on both sides of the football. The offensive line's been banged up all year. Their running game has been taking a big blow from injuries and just lack of commitment there. And then you look on the defensive side of the football, a catastrophic amount of injuries. They've lost one of their backbones, the most underrated defensive players to me in the league for the past couple of years, Rodney McLeod at safety. Their defensive line has really been the only thing that's been healthy for them. They've lost, I mean, Chris, they were playing their 5th, 6th, and 7th string cornerbacks last week against the Giants. And the only reason, really, I think they won that football game is because Pat Shurmur decided to go away from Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. So the Eagles have dealt with injuries. They've blown 2 fourth-and-long plays that cost them wins. So they could be looking at 7-4 right now instead of 5-6. It's been an up and down crazy year for the Eagles, but it's crazy that they're still only a couple games out of the division lead considering the season that they've had.
Yeah, and I would say this, you know, whatever you think is crazy for the Philadelphia Eagles, times that by 10 every year for the Washington Redskins, or right. Multiply that, if I use better English, by 10 if you're the Washington Redskins, because they redefine absolute lunacy, both on the field and in the front office and everything in between, and there's so much going on around this organization right now. I have no idea the impact that it will be on Monday. I don't think it'll be a huge impact in terms of the actual game and how that plays out. They've got enough issues to deal with in their own consistency and how they play and how they shoot themselves in the foot. But, I mean, you just – it's like a traveling circus with a black cloud hovering over it that the Redskins bring to the link on Monday night.
It's going to be an interesting one for sure. A big test for this Eagles team and for the Redskins as they try to stay with Dallas in this NFC East race. Coming up next on this special edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins crossover edition, we are going to get into how the Eagles should defend this Redskins offense featuring Colt McCoy right now under center as Alex Smith is out for the season. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins, and it's sponsored today, guys, by MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is really easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Go to MyBookie.com. It's slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, everybody, welcome back to a crossover edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins. Louis DiBiase alongside Chris Russell, host of Locked On Redskins. And Chris, let's get into now some of the matchups on both sides of the football, and we're going to start in this segment with the Eagles defense against the Redskins offense. Both sides really banged up when you look at the Redskins at quarterback and up front on the offensive line. As for the Eagles, their secondary has been pretty depleted the past few weeks. They might get Sidney Jones back this week, probably Rasul Douglas, so a couple guys that have been used to playing some snaps in the NFL. I mean, again, like I mentioned in the first segment, last week against the Giants, they were playing their 5th, 6th, and 7th string corners that were on the practice squad just a few weeks ago. I mean, the fact that they were able to pull out that win was unbelievable. They should be getting some help back this week. Jalen Mills and Avante Maddox still probably a couple weeks away. But as for the Redskins, what are they dealing with health-wise right now? Because as beat up as the Eagles are in defense, it seems like Washington is the same way on offense.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned, you know, earlier in the show, Rodney McLeod. I mean, Darby's obviously out. I mean, you know, really the Redskins have an opportunity to attack them, but do they? Because they're short there. The guy that they thought was going to be their new DeSean Jackson, Paul Richardson, who they brought over from a free agent deal in Seattle, he was never healthy, Louis, this year, really from training camp on. He had a couple of moments, but they finally had to shut him down. He had multiple surgeries dealing with a knee, a shoulder. So he's gone. You know, at wide receiver, they do have a former first-round pick, you know, in Josh Doctson, and they've worked in a couple of other guys, but it's not an explosive group to attack that Eagles weakness. And really the strength of the Redskins had always been, or at least had been for the first half, with Adrian Peterson, the run game. Pretty consistent. Not always consistent, but pretty consistent. And when they ran the ball well to the tune of, you know, over 100 yards, they flat out won. And then Brandon Scherff, their all-pro guard, right guard, went out for the year with a torn pec. And in the same game, Sean Laval, who is always hurt, always in and out of the lineup, somehow the Redskins never even bothered to have another guard on the roster that could play left guard at any kind of competent level. Somehow they never addressed that, and he went out for the year with a torn ACL in that same game that Scherff went out. So when you take those two guys away, it's hurt the Redskins' outside zone pass, running game. And that's really affected, I think, Adrian Peterson and the success – of that run game, which was so good, the outside perimeter with Trent Williams and those guys that I just mentioned. Morgan Moses, their right tackle, is banged up. He may not play on Monday night, although knowing Morgan as I do, he'll play basically on a half a leg, and he'll, you know, be down on the ground 16 times, and they'll have to scoop him up with a bulldozer, and then he'll come back, and, you know, he'll have three holding calls. And yeah, anyway, I tease a little bit. I talked to Trent Williams the other day in the Redskins locker room, and, you know, he told me, and this is pretty, he missed like three games with thumb surgery. He's like, I'm still trying to figure out how to play with this thumb and the cast around my thumb. I can't grab right. And so that makes him less effective, even though he returned to the lineup last week. The long and the short of it is the Redskins are just really, 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 really banged up along the offensive line. Mention the Richardson thing. And then, of course, the Alex Smith to Colt McCoy element has been a change. And again, in summation, Colt McCoy is going to make more plays than Alex Smith is. He's also going to make more plays for the opponent. And that's where the Eagles certainly can win this game if they can capitalize.
Yeah, and look, for the past couple of weeks, throughout the season, heading into the Giants game last week, the Eagles were at a -9 turnover differential. So they have not had the playmaking ability on defense that they were used to last year. Finally, they got an interception last week with Malcolm Jenkins at the end of the first half. That's got to be a key here, is trying to force Colt McCoy into more mistakes like Dallas did just a week ago. But you look at how Washington is banged up front on the offensive line. This needs to be a bounce-back game for the Eagles' run defense. And their pass rush, they were non-existent in the first half against the Giants. Eli Manning had way too much time. Michael Bennett and Fletcher Cox, they got it going in the second half. Hopefully they can build off that. But for the run defense, this has been consistently a top five run defense in the league the past couple of years. They were even, the first half of the season this year, they were ranked second. But now they've dropped to 11th because week after week, they played some really good running backs the past couple of weeks. But Ezekiel Elliott gashed them for over 150 yards. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, they both combined for over 170. And then Saquon right. Barkley was gashing them all half against the Eagles, the Giants were. And then in the second half, for some reason, Pat Shurmur just went away from Saquon. So this could be a interesting matchup because the offensive line is banged up for Washington, but the Eagles' run defense has struggled. This is an opportunity for them to bounce back, I think. Chris, what is a matchup on this side of the ball for Washington that you think they're going to try to exploit, or at least maybe not exploit, but what's going to be an entertaining matchup to watch here with Washington on offense and the Eagles on defense?
Well, Louis, I'm glad you asked that, because I was just going to add, you know, Chris Thompson is making his return. Yep. At least that's the expectation. And he's missed five out of the last six games. And I'm not saying he's Saquon Barkley. He's not. Saquon Barkley is in a league of himself. And he's not Alvin Kamara either. But he's not that much further down the chain from those type of guys, meaning he can crease you with the speed, the outside perimeter stuff. I don't think that, you know, in the run game, that's necessarily his strength. I think he can hit you with some delayed draws up the middle. Like, you know how the Eagles play that, you know, the wide splits along their defensive line? I would look for the Redskins to try and hit Chris Thompson and maybe even Capri Bibbs with a couple of those, number one. Number two, I wonder, you know, Saquon, as you mentioned, had a lot of success. It was not only running the football, but it was also with the screen game.
Yep.
And that is certainly something Chris Thompson brings to the table for the Washington Redskins that has been missing. So to me, I think this game comes down to, can the Eagles find a way to keep Chris Thompson, who's fresh and coming back from this multiple rib injury nonsense, can they keep him under control? Because if they can't, it's going to be a long night via the screen. And again, some of the different types of styles of runs inside and outside that the Redskins will use.
That's a good one to mention, because to the Eagles, you look at just a couple weeks ago, Alvin Kamara was gashing them in the receiving game as well. The Eagles have failed to finish tackling guys to the ground, and that's a problem, especially in the secondary with guys banged up. They've had a lot of inexperience back then, and you know, Chandon Sullivan was struggling with tackling last week. Bosby set the edge. Chris Thompson's going to be a problem too, because Malcolm Jenkins, look, he plays safety, he plays linebacker, corner a lot of the time. He's all over the place. He might have to deal with Jordan Reed this week. So Nigel Bradham right now at linebacker, he has a broken thumb. He broke it in three different areas against the Giants last week. He had surgery on it. He's got a club on his hand right now. He is going to play, though, because the Eagles are so shorthanded. One of their other starting linebackers, Jordan Hicks, is week-to-week right now. So they have Kamu Grugia-Hill in there, who's also banged up with a hand injury. That's a interesting matchup here, because if they got, look, they got to get Chris Thompson to the ground, and they have to finish tackles. It's something that they haven't been able to do. What are you expecting from Colt McCoy in this game? Do you think he's going to limit the turnovers? Because, I mean, if he's throwing three interceptions in a game, it's going to be hard for you guys to win football games. I mean, like you said, they were winning games by not turning it over.
Right. Yeah, sorry to jump on in on you. They have no chance. They have no chance if he's going to turn the ball over three times a game. And really, quite honestly, Louis, he almost had a fourth interception, or I should say a fourth turnover, because he fumbled on the first series of the game when he was sacked on third down and they were lucky enough to recover it. So listen, I don't think Colt is that turnover prone, but I think he's definitely good for one, and the Redskins have to max it out at two. And the real interesting part is, you know, again, mentioned the difference between him and Alex Smith, you know, the good and the bad, but the Redskins, for the first time in 15 games last week, or on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, did not themselves have a takeaway. So here's what the Redskins can't do. They can afford a turnover, maybe two, from Colt McCoy, right? Or the offense, let's put it that way. But they have to, Louie, they have to get a turnover themselves on defense to equal it out. Otherwise, you don't go on the road in the division. I don't care what the Eagles have done, and you've chronicled it well, and I agree with everything you've said. I don't care how banged up the Eagles are, the Redskins are not going to win if they are more than, I'll say, more than negative one in the turnover, you know, ratio or differential department. And I would even say negative one might be too much to overcome, because you know there's going to be other mistakes, such as poor tackling or penalties that wipe out a big play, like you guys had on the first Eagles series, you know, where Kelsey's hold wipes out a big touchdown run, something like that. That's the problem, and that's why this team can't turn the ball over. So yes, I think Colt will be better than he was on Thanksgiving. I don't think he'll push the envelope as much, but I think the temptation is going to be there. If they can't run the ball effectively and control the clock, which they need to do, I think the temptation is going to be there against a really banged up and injured and thin secondary, as you've chronicled.
Yeah, turnovers is going to be interesting, because you look at Carson Wentz, and right now he does have six interceptions on the year, but you take away that Saints game where he was really pressing in the fourth quarter, they were already down by 30 points, and he threw two bad picks. Outside of that, Carson Wentz only has three other interceptions this year. He's been pretty mistake-free so far. And speaking of Carson Wentz and the offense, that's what we're going to get into next on the final segment of this crossover edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins. We're going to flip the script. We're going to get to Eagles offense against Washington's defense, the healthier matchup in this big Monday Night Football battle. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final edition of this crossover edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins. Louis DiBiase alongside Chris Russell, host of Locked On Redskins. You can follow him on Twitter at WrestleMania621. So, Chris, we talked about the Eagles' defense against Washington's offense, which is an interesting battle because both are pretty banged up right now, injury-wise. We flip the script now. We talked at the end of the second segment about Carson Wentz and Washington trying to get turnovers because Colt McCoy had three picks last week. They got to at least make it even with the Eagles' offense. Is that, what else are you thinking here for Washington's strategy against Carson Wentz and the Eagles?
Well, you know, I think every game starts with, normally you say pass rush, right? The Redskins have been able to generate pretty good pass rush against Carson Wentz and the Eagles. What they haven't been able to do is bring him down without him escaping the pocket and making great plays on the run by extending plays. Now, obviously, since they last played him, took him on a Monday Night Football game in, what, late October last year in Philly, you know, he's torn his ACL, as we all know, and missed the Super Bowl and all that. So I know he's not as elusive as he once used to be, but you cannot allow that if you're the Washington Redskins for him to make plays as coverage breaks down, because the Redskins are probably going to be without one of their starting corners. We talked so much about the Eagles secondary, but Quentin Dunbar has been really banged up for the last month and a week or so, and he's unlikely to play, Louis, in this game. So you're looking at you know, basically Josh Norman. You're looking at rookie Greg Stroman. You're looking at guys like that. You know, and Fabian Moreau, who's only in his second year, but really only his first year of playing extensively out of the slot. We know kind of the array of weapons the Eagles can throw at young corners and young secondary guys, and that I worry about because they've had a lot of miscommunication this year on the back end. But really, you know, for the Redskins, what they have to do in this game is they have to make the Eagles one-dimensional. And again, normally you wouldn't say, hey, you know what, let Carson Wentz beat you. But truly and honestly, every defensive coach that I've ever talked to, so I'll trust them, says stop the run and make them one-dimensional. Why? So you can guess more and better what's coming. One, two, so you can pin your ears back on the pass rush and get home. And that's what I believe the Redskins have to do and have to get better at. That's what they were doing for the first eight games of the year. That's not what they've been able to do over the last four, where they've really struggled to stop the run. It's been bad fits in gaps and lanes. It's been bad tackling. And their defensive line, you know, it's kind of worn down, quite honestly, because the starting three, Matt Ioannidis, a Temple product who's had a great year, he's banged up, so we're not even sure if he's going to play. I think he'll play, but we're not absolutely sure on that. And then Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, two Alabama boys, they played a ton of snaps this year. It's just recent that they've started to work in Tim Settle into the mix, along with Stacy McGee, who came back after missing the first half of the year. So the Redskins kind of run defense is their key. I think if they can shut down or control that and make the Eagles one-dimensional, that's what they need to do.
That's what the Saints did just a couple weeks ago. They took away the run game and they made Carson Wentz beat them. And you know, I mean, Carson Wentz is a great quarterback, but again, the Eagles have been the best passing team when they are running the football efficiently. Even last year, balance was key, and that's why they got a win last week against the Giants. Josh Adams has been a big part of the run game, and since they've gone to him, he's been extremely efficient. Just some numbers for Josh Adams. He has 6 15-plus yard runs since Week 8, which is third most, and he's also averaging the fourth most yards after contact since Week 8. And we saw it last year with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, how good the Eagles' offense was when you kept switching those guys in and out. Two big bruising running backs that, man, you think you it was tough to get LeGarrette Blount down. Now here comes Jay Ajayi. I mean, that really does a number on the defense, and Josh Adams being that new Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount has been big for the Eagles' attack. The Eagles' offensive line against Washington's defensive line is one I'm really excited for. I feel like the Eagles' offensive line...
Let me jump in there. Don't you think he's got a little more wiggle and burst, though, than guys? I mean, I'm wrong. Yeah.
No, he has a lot better cutting ability for sure,
yeah.
But he's that big body that they haven't been able to break tackles this year. Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood have provided no run after, yards after contact.
They've offered none
of that this year. So yeah. I feel like Josh Adams is going to be a big part of that. But
I'm with you.
I thought it was interesting that you mentioned Carson Wentz being elusive. Because of the ACL injury, he has not done it a lot this year.
Right.
That first game against the Colts, he looked like he was back to normal, but he has relied on the pocket a lot this year, and it's kind of taken away from the Eagles' explosive playmaking ability, and it's really hurt specifically Nelson Agholor, who last year, when the play broke down and Carson Wentz is running around, Agholor was the best at just playing pickup football, getting open down the field, and he succeeded really well with Wentz, and I feel like that's something the Eagles' offense has been missing this year, and hopefully he can get back to that the healthier he gets. But teams have contained Wentz, they've kept him inside the pocket, and I feel like that's a strategy for Washington to take. What's a matchup here, Chris, that you're looking for?
Yeah, and I'll give you just a perfect example to match the example you just gave. In week one of last year at FedEx Field, the season opener for both teams, Wentz, on the first series of the game on a third down, the Redskins had him dead to rights, and he escaped and scrambled all over the place, should have been sacked. And who did he hook up with? Just as you're talking about. Agholor on a long touchdown beating DJ Swearinger. So
you
can
tell he doesn't have that mobility anymore. You can tell it's not fully there yet. You can still see it.
Sure.
But it's not. He's getting caught more than he did last year.
And maybe that helps out the Redskins. So, you know, from a matchup perspective, you know, again, what I'm kind of wondering and looking at in this game is I think the Eagles, you know, where I would fear the Eagles the most if I'm the Redskins is I don't have anybody that outside of Swearinger that can really match up with Zach Ertz. And if you take, Swearinger and say, okay, you're basically playing man-to-man on Ertz because none of our inside linebackers can do it. None of our outside linebackers can do it. And certainly we're not going to put on, you know, Fabian Moreau, a slot corner on that. If you take Swearinger and say, your guy, is man-to-man, regardless of formation, splits, whatever, is Zach Ertz, who else then hurts you as a result of that? And to me, like, what I would do then is, you know, if I see that, I'm running a lot of deep posts and a lot of deep crosses over the middle to attack that area of the Redskins defense that they're so preoccupied with Zach Ertz on. So whether that's, you know, pick your receiver, you know, to me, that's a big time concern for the Washington Redskins. Now, I would also say this, you know, Golden Tate versus Fabian Moreau. I mentioned Fabian Moreau in his second year in the NFL. You know, I mean, I saw Golden Tate used deep last week. I saw him used on little wide receiver squibs or smokes. You know, to me, the Redskins have struggled so bad with tackling in space and yards after the catch, giving up too much of that. I can just see Golden Tate being lined up perfectly for a little, again, wide receiver smoke or whatever you want to call it, and then busting one up the sideline or busting one because of a bad angle or a bad tackle. So to me, those are the matchups I'm really going to be paying attention to.
This is going to be a fun one to watch, a big test for both teams trying to keep their playoff aspirations alive. How confident are you feeling heading into this one for Washington, Chris?
I would say I'm more confident than I normally am. When it comes to the Redskins on Monday night in the division on the road, but I'm not confident enough to pick them to win. So I'll say the Eagles win this game by, if I can give my official prediction, if you don't mind, I'll say the Redskins cover the six, which is what I had on my Saturday, on my Sunday six pack of selections on my last podcast, Louie. I'll say the Redskins cover the six, but the Eagles win. I'll call it by a field goal.
Yeah, I was a score that popped in my head, 28-24, something. I think it's going to be a one-score game. I think this is going to be really close. The Eagles have had success against Washington on Monday night games in the past, but I don't think this is going to be another Monday night massacre in 2010 with Michael Vick, the Chip Kelly debut.
I was at that game. Trust me, that was a nightmare. You want to talk about a circus of a day. Don't forget, that was the day they announced the Donovan McNabb extension with the Redskins, which was essentially a fake extension after Andy Reid okey-doked the Redskins for the first time, which he's already done another time at the quarterback position.
Yeah, no, that was a look, I'm a younger Eagles fan, so growing up, that's one of my better memories growing up, and even 2013 with Chip Kelly's debut on Monday Night Football.
Was that game too?
It was supposed to be all about RG3's return, but here comes Michael Vick and Chip Kelly, and then last year, Monday Night Football, I was at, that was my first game at Lincoln Financial Field in the regular season, that game in late October. A good one to watch as well, but I don't think the Eagles are going to have that kind of blowout type of game against Washington. I think this is going to be a tight one because it's so important for both. All right, everyone, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins, Friday, November 30th edition. Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe to both of our podcasts of Locked On Eagles and Locked On Redskins. Also got all my written content on LockedOnEagles.com. Follow me on Twitter, @DiBiaseLOE. Chris, let's get some shameless plugs in. Where can we all find your stuff?
Thank you, Louie. At WrestleMania621 on Twitter. Also, the Locked On Redskins Twitter is, we're just getting it up and running because I finally unlocked the Locked On Redskins Twitter. It's at Locked Redskins, not Locked On Redskins, at Locked Redskins is a good way to follow all the content and hear the other podcasts. And obviously we'll put up this crossover edition. So yeah, those are the two main ways. And you know, all the requisite Facebooks and LinkedIns and all that stuff. We have all that as well. I'm not as fancy as you, man. You have a kick-ass website. I got a mess.
Thank you. These days.
So you got some good content up there that I was perusing earlier this week. But yeah, definitely, you know, definitely on Twitter is a good place to go.
Appreciate it. And yeah, also follow us, our official show page on Twitter, at Lockdown Birds. We haven't had the same success getting the old Twitter account unlocked. But for Chris Russell, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. We will see you this weekend. Hopefully, on Monday, we're recapping an Eagles win for you guys. Hopefully, recapping a Redskins win. Regardless, an important game for both sides. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading, and we'll see you next time.